Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Our condolences to all the believers all across the world upon the martyrdom of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, Lady Fatima Zahra alayha salam. To talk about the life and the martyrdom of this esteemed and noble lady, this esteemed daughter of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, we have with us in the studio Sheikh Muzaffar Haider. Let's go ahead and begin this discussion. Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the talk show.
It's good to be here, alhamdulillah. It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you, Sayyid.
Alhamdulillah, it's good to have you in the studio. We've done a couple of different Islamic Pulse talk shows in the past. Now we had decided that with the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, what a beautiful opportunity to have some more talk shows, at least on this subject.
Absolutely.
So, Sheikh Muzaffar, I'm kind of looking forward, and I'm sure all the viewers are as well, as to some points about the life and the martyrdom of Lady Fatima Zahra. Bismillah.
So the first thing that actually came to my mind when you invited me for the show was how the ladies of the Ahlul Bayt, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of them, are shrouded in a kind of mystery.
Yes.
I mean, Sayyida Fatima Zahra, for example, we don't actually know a whole lot about her. I mean, is this just me, or is this you as well, or
The life and the biography, if you would say, of Lady Fatima Zahra, salamu alayha, is truly something which is a little bit clouded, or as you said, is a little bit mysterious or hidden among the history books. Lady Khadija as well, salamu alayha, she is also one of these figures in Islamic history which is rarely really talked about in a very, you know, clear and concise manner.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, how much do you really know about Sayyida Fatima Zahra? I mean, this is a lady who was buried secretly in the night. We don't even know where her shrine would be.
Right, exactly.
You know, we don't know where she's buried. But there is so much that the deen has which revolves around this lady. For example, tasbih. You know, whether you're Sunni or Shia, Muslims generally will recite the tasbih. You know, you say 33 times or 34 times,
right.
Allahu Akbar, and then Alhamdulillah, and then Subhanallah. After every prayer, you know, but we actually get this from Sayyida Fatima Zahra. You know,
yes.
Because the Holy Prophet taught this specific prayer to
right.
Sayyida Fatima. Right? But, I mean, and then Surah Kawthar. This is another point I wanted to discuss very briefly.
Sure.
It is the shortest surah of the Qur'an, and yet it has an abundant amount of blessings in it. You know, and let's just go through the surah very quickly. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna a'atainaka al-kawthar. Allah is speaking to the Prophet here, and he's saying, surely we have given you kawthar. You know,
sure.
What is kawthar? You know, the zahir, the apparent form of this word is, you know, it's the fountain of paradise.
Right.
But let's go a little bit deeper. What does the next verse say? Inna a'atainaka al-kawthar, fasalli lirabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Okay? So it says, surely, the last verse, it says, surely your enemy will be among the abtar.
Right.
Abtar. What does abtar mean?
Right.
It actually means somebody who is without progeny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet here, your enemy is going to be the one who is without
progeny.
They don't have a legacy, you know, they're going to
yes.
be forgotten, their bloodline is going to be cut
descendants
off.
Descendants and these things, right?
What relevance, you know, when you're just reading the Quran and you're just looking at the translation, you're trying to understand it. What relevance does the third verse or the last verse have with the first? What relevance is there?
Right.
Well, when we go into the tafsir, that kawthar, it does mean the fountain in paradise, but it also alludes to Sayyida Fatima Zahra.
Right.
And this noble lady of the household of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, she was a kind of gift to the Prophet and a sign that his progeny will not be cut off.
Right.
The legacy of Islam will continue, and it will continue through this lady.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm just talking and talking and talking.
No, I think this is excellent.
Just a very quick point to round off that. So the Arabs of that time, they would mock the Prophet. They would make fun out of him. Mm-hmm. They would call him Abtar, meaning that you have no sons. Right. You know, you're claiming prophecy, but after you, you know, there's... It's going to die. Yes. Who's going to carry on the prophecy after you?
Or your name.
Right, your name is your heritage. There's nothing going to... You're Abtar. They made fun out of him.
Yeah.
Allah, through this surah, is consoling the Prophet and saying, no, your enemies are the ones who are going to be Abtar, and we have given you a pure lady, a daughter, who has such traits that she is Umma Abiha, she is the mother of her father because of the affection and the maturity of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra. Even though she was the daughter of the Prophet, she was almost like the mother of the Prophet at the same time because she cared for him when nobody else could and in ways that nobody else could.
Yes, it's very interesting. I mean, just to add, of course, this abundance, if you just look at it at the very manifest and the very, you know, superficial level, you see how many probably millions of Sadat are out there in the world who are all the offspring of the Holy Prophet from his daughter, Lady Fatima Zahra, salamu alayha. And so truly, 1,400 odd years later into the future, you find that the bloodline and the legacy and the name and the descendants of the Holy Prophet Muhammad via Lady Fatima Zahra are all across the world, and not only all across the world, but in very large numbers. Now, another thing that came to my mind, though, is we shouldn't think that, for example, the reason we have so many of these Sadat from the bloodline of Lady Fatima al-Zahra means that they weren't under trials and tribulations, right? If you look at Islamic history, it's kind of a tangent, I apologize, but you have these governors like Hajjaj bin Yusuf, bloodthirsty, who killed the progeny of Lady Fatima Zahra, of course, in the hundreds, if not in the thousands. Mm. And throughout Islamic history, you find this mass killing of Sadat. But despite this, as you beautifully alluded to the verse of the Holy Quran, this abundance, this it was not able to be slowed down even by the enemies of the religion.
Yeah, I mean, just off the back of that, actually, you know, Islamically we have wilada and we have wilaya,
right?
Wilada is like bloodline, you know, you are blood related to the Prophet. And then there's wilaya, which means that you might not be blood related to the Prophet, but you're spiritually under the kind of, how would you say it? You kind of spiritually, the fatherhood of the Prophet.
The
you belong to the family of the Ahlul Bayt to a lesser or greater extent, depending on your spiritual level. I mean, that's a beautiful point in and of itself, that a person like Salman al-Farsi, he wasn't an Arab. Right. Forget about being from the Prophet's family, you know, in terms of wilada, he wasn't even an Arab. He came from a faraway land, he came from Persia.
Yeah.
And then... But then this is somebody about whom the Prophet says, or the A'imma tell us, Salmanu minna Ahlul Bayt. He is from us, the Ahlul Bayt. So he reached that spiritual level where he came under the household of the Prophet.
Of the Holy Prophet. Sheikh Muzaffar, you talked about something in the beginning of the program, which was this, even the burial site of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace and blessings upon her. Even her burial site is nobody knows where it is, right? There's traditions which say that, you know, it's in for example in the house of the Holy Prophet, or it's in Jannatul Baqi, or things like that. But the precise location is unknown to the masses. This itself, I think, is a big point which is out there, a very interesting point which points to different matters, is why her burial was done in the middle of the night, in the dark of the night, and still to this day, Muslims, they don't know where the burial site of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah is. I don't know if you would like to comment on that.
Well, just immediately, the first thing that comes to mind is that although we are deprived of the physical location of the burial site of this of the Holy Lady Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra, there are multiple riwayat, or at least I've heard that if you go to the shrine of Sayyidina Ma'asuma in Qom,
yes,
it is as if you have visited the shrine of Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra. So yes, physically we might be deprived, but spiritually we have that same access to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I don't want to go further, because then we'll start talking about dreams and how Sayyidina Fatima visits people in dreams, like the rest of the Ahlul Bayt and the rest of the prophets. But no, this spiritual connection that we need to gain with the Ahlul Bayt. I mean, it's a similar story with Imam Zaman, right? With Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala faraja sharif. Yes, he's in occultation. He's in ghaiba. But it's about us gaining that spiritual connection to him, getting to know him while he is in the ghaibah. Otherwise, there were people who were physically among the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. That beautiful hadith where he is sitting amongst his companions, he looks into the distance and he says, "Assalamu alaikum." I mean, it brings tears to your eyes when you think about it. His companions say, "You know, who are you saying salam to, ya Rasulullah?" And he says, "I'm saying salam to those who will be at the end of times. They will believe in me even though they've never seen me."
Yes.
And in another rendition of this same tradition, he actually says, "I miss my brothers."
My brothers. Right.
Look, again, that idea of being one with that family comes into the picture. "I miss my brothers," says the Holy Prophet.
Yes.
They ask, the companions are there, "Are we not your brothers?" they say. He says, "No, you are Ashabi, you're my companions. My brothers are those who will come at the end of times. They will believe in me even though they have not seen me." So again, it's about gaining that familiarity with a personality like Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra. That brings me right back to the initial point that I made about her being shrouded in this kind of mystery.
Mystery, yes.
How much do you really know about her, Sayyid? How much do you know about her?
Yes,
how much do I know about her?
It's quite unfortunate. A lot of us, we wouldn't be able to come up with traditions from Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Now, of course, one of the reasons is perhaps that we don't do enough research. But what's interesting is...
Just very quickly, one of the reasons is because so many of our books have been burnt throughout history. You know, the enmity of the enemies has always been there. And so much information that we crave, we really do crave, we want to know more, it just doesn't exist at the moment.
It doesn't exist. And you're right. This is actually the point that I was going to allude to, was the enemies of Islam. They really tried hard to subdue and really kind of quell or quash any kind of information that was from these individuals. So for example, again, Lady Fatima Zahra, the daughter of the Messenger of God, there's very little things that we have on hand. Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam, this is another individual we have very little from. So you can see that the enemies of Islam, they really did a number on trying to, hide a lot of this information, really erase it from history, but they couldn't. I ran across some traditions from Lady Fatima Zahra, and they're really very beautiful traditions. But we don't know a lot, and I think we don't bother to...
As compared to other personalities.
Imam Hussein, for example. Mm-hmm. Imam Hussein is a phenomenon, right? A huge universal... Imam Ali alayhi salam, there's a lot of work done on him as well.
And actually, in another sense, if you look at it, we don't know much about many of the Ahlul Bayt, you know, much of their lifetime, because you mentioned Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but actually before, you know, that painful period towards the end, that the episode of Karbala, the heart-shattering day of Ashura, and that chapter, how much do we read?
Yeah, we don't.
Now I want to make this clear.
We don't.
I'm not raising these points to create any doubts, God forbid, in people that, we don't know anything. No, that much that we do know is enough for us to recognize the greatness of each and every one of these personalities.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra is one of the ladies of light. Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra is Umma Abiha. She is the mother of her father. And her father is the father of the Ummah, according to various ahadiths.
Right.
right? She is a lady whose status is so great that it is incomparable to any other women throughout history. History.
Yes.
Even if you go to, in fact, I won't mention that, but so for example, Sayyidah Maryam, in the Quran, she is the only woman who is mentioned by name, right? And she is one of the ladies of light. Asiya, the wife of the Fir'aun,
right.
Similar story. But again, Sayyidah Fatima, she is the greatest in status throughout history, past, right. Present, future.
Right, okay? And this is a tradition from Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam also, what you're saying, so.
Jazakallah. But that's, I mean, these things are enough for us to recognize these realities, at least
right.
to the extent that we need to recognize them. And there's actually something profound that I've learned through contemplating about this idea that we don't actually know much about them. The profound thing that I personally learned, and I don't know if you've had an experience like this as well, Sayyid, is that Allah is actually trying to show us that, look, it doesn't matter how much people know about you. It doesn't matter if, you know, people know everything about you, who you are, what you... That matters not. It doesn't matter at all. You, as a person, as an individual... You just need to please Allah. I don't know if I made that clear or not, but does that make sense? Let's say we're going to die, right?
Explain
kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul shall taste of death. We're going to die. Who's going to remember us, Sayyid?
Right.
Who is actually going to remember us?
One generation of your family.
One generation, two generations. Let's say 100 years, 200 years. Let's say 1,000 years. Who's going to even remember our names?
Yeah.
Does it matter?
As long
what, as... What matters is your status in the eyes of Allah.
Right, sure.
That's really, really all we're trying to achieve. Some sort of status in the eyes of Allah. You know, just so that you exist eternally in the divine memory of Allah, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to
even if nobody else recognizes you.
Yeah, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied, may He accept all of our actions, again, even our commemorations. Yeah. And our prayers and our worship and our ibadat and our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and may He forgive our sins as well, likewise. So, I mean, one of the things, for example, so we talk about the martyrdom of Lady Fatima, Lady Fatima Zahra, salamu alayha. I mean, what do you think about this idea that, you know, we shouldn't necessarily just limit the memory of these individuals. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam plays kind of in sync role with this, right? That we shouldn't just remember the martyrdom aspect of these people's lives, right? So, like, for example, we should also remember the rest of their lives, what they did, what they said, what their behavior was, what their sunnah was, what their manners were like. I mean, if you'd like to comment on that.
Well, immediately, one of the sad traits that we see in humanity is that we only appreciate somebody once they're gone.
Right.
Right. So you can imagine in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, there were lots of people who didn't accept him, or maybe they pretended to accept him. When the Holy Prophet passes away, mm-hmm. they all say, no, we love the Prophet. He was the greatest. We accept him as the Prophet. It's Ali alayhi salam who we have a problem with. He can't be the Imam of the time.
Right.
Then Imam Ali alayhi salam passes away. Imam Hassan comes into the picture. He is now the Imam of the time. The same group of people, they say, no. Ali was great. He was the most knowledgeable. He was the Khalif, etc., etc. Hassan, no. He's something. And then it goes on and on and on and on and on. It's just cyclical. We just repeat history. It's kind of pathetic, to be honest. But this is what we do. This is what our nature is. We never stop to ourselves and think, hold on a moment, who are the great personalities of our time alive today, guiding the Ummah, helping the Ummah, strengthening the Ummah, spreading the knowledge of Islam, protecting the borders of Islam, guiding people towards the right path, etc., etc. Who's doing that in our time? When are we going to wake up to it? Right? So yeah, definitely, we need to be alive with the Ahlul Bayt and with the Awliya Allah, with the friends of Allah, while they are alive, right? when we have a great personality today. I'll give a small example. It doesn't need to be necessarily somebody who is ma'soom in the traditional sense.
Right.
Somebody today like Imam Khamenei, right? How much do we really appreciate that we have this great personality alive with us right now, guiding us, constantly giving speeches, which are available online? You can go onto Khamenei.ir and you can find... Right? Are we actually appreciating it? Because obviously, he is the bridge to Imam Zaman, Imam Mahdi, the Imam of our time, right? And when we get connected to Imam Khamenei, we get connected to Imam al-Hujjah. But, okay, we need to be alive with the life of the Awliya Allah. Okay, that's on one side. On the other hand, reviving the tragedies that really did take place, the terrible atrocities that were committed against the Ahlul Bayt, has to be done.
Yes.
You know, we can't, you know, you can't become unbalanced.
Right.
The reason why history repeats itself is because we forget parts of history.
Right.
And we forget that history is repeating and what role we have to play. It's just like a narrative. I mean, that's why I find narrative theory so interesting. When you study narrative theory, in terms of media, in terms of literature, there's always a cyclical pattern, right? And it's, you know, to simplify things, it's always, you know, the beginning, middle, and an end. You know, and there's lots of details that take place in the middle of that. But unless you recognize that you are living in a story that is written by Allah, you'll never stop and ask yourself, what role do I actually have to play in that?
Yes.
I think I've overcomplicated the question, Sayed.
No, I think the thing is because I'm also kind of wary on time. But yeah, I think it's good, good information, good things to think about overall.
Just to summarize, okay.
Yeah.
Well, on the one side, you know, be alive, be present, recognize the great personalities of your time,
sure.
Recognize the lives of the Ahlul Bayt and how you can implement examples of those lives within your own life.
Right.
And at the same time, don't forget the tragedies that took place.
Right, right. I mean, so you brought up the name of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, right? It's interesting, my humble opinion, you will find that he is an individual who has been able to really manifest and encapsulate the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt in the present day.
Yeah.
And likewise, it was the same thing with Imam Khomeini, right? Imam Khomeini was this manifestation, this encapsulation of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, and in the present time. And I think you're right. For example, we're coming up very soon on the martyrdom anniversary of Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani.
Mm.
And one of the things that he used to say, you know, was that he sees that Imam Khamenei is one of the most oppressed people.
Mm.
Again, because of this idea that what you just alluded to was that during their life, we don't listen to them. During their life, we don't give them the due respect that they deserve. We don't honor them as we should. And then when they pass away,
mm.
as everybody has to pass away, then at that time, all of a sudden, mm. it's like, oh, I wish we would have listened. I wish we would have heard what he was saying while he was still alive. So I think a very profound thing. I don't know if you have a kind of a final thought on this, again, this commemoration of the life and the martyrdom of Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Please, bismillah.
Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra was such a personality that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would stand up when she entered the room. I don't know, isn't that enough for us to recognize her status? Is that not enough for us to recognize her status?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all I have.
Yeah, I think it is. That's a very big thing, and it's interesting. I wanted to end the show, but you said something that's quite profound. Sometimes we're looking for thousands and thousands of traditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why don't we have thousands of traditions about Lady Fatima al-Zahra? Why don't we have thousands of traditions about Imam Hassan alayhi salam? But sometimes just one tradition is enough to really take the discussion home and close the discussion. the fact that the messenger of Allah, the seal of prophethood, you know, this whole time continuum of Prophet Adam all the way to all these, you know, one of the figures that said 124,000 prophets, etc. And then you reach the final prophet, the messenger of Allah, who speaks only from wahi, from divine inspiration, from the inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he stands up for this esteemed lady. And it's not because of affection, it's not because of, oh, she's my daughter. These kind of feelings or emotions are far from somebody who's the representative of God on earth. So just that one tradition is huge. Is that not enough that the messenger of Allah stood up in respect for this esteemed lady? Sheikh Muzaffar Hadid, thank you so much for joining us on the talk show. We hope to have you on more talk shows as we go into the future. And again, we want to thank all the viewers, and again, our condolences on the martyrdom of this esteemed lady of light, this lady of paradise and heaven, Lady Fatimatu Zahra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.